Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
Well, isn't it good to be back in a school with a blue floor for church? Christmas miracles happen. Some of you were saying, if you weren't here, one of the services in December, we had a snow day. The school refused to open, even though it looked like this outside, ending up on a Sunday morning. So we canceled that Sunday. And then we had an evening service and not a morning service. And then we were booted out of here. So it's been ages since we've been here for Sunday morning. Doesn't it feel good to be back? Some of you were complaining that we hadn't had church for the first time ever. I heard that people were complaining that we hadn't had church. It was amazing. So I hope you're glad to be back. Yeah. And I hope that you got lovely Christmas presents, and I just want to wish you a happy new year. It's that time of year when we look ahead and dream about the lives that we long to have in the year ahead, isn't it? And maybe we make some New Year's resolutions. Anybody made any of those? You're unwilling to commit. It's only the 7th of January. Normally people are like, I'm all in until next week or something like that. But you're not even going there. Okay, it's going to be a long sermon. All right. We do tend to ask a lot of questions around New Year. Things like, what needs to change in my life? What do I really want out of life? And what do I want to see in my life in 2018? Maybe you're asking those questions. Maybe you're asking questions like, am I happy? Am I productive? What would make my life better? And those are really good and fruitful questions that we always ask this time of year, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. But today in our passage from Luke's gospel, Jesus invites us to ask some different questions at the start of the new year. And it's going to be a really challenging passage for those of us who want to take him seriously and want to follow him. And believe it or not, Jesus kind of preached a little sermon to his followers, and it's like almost like a New Year message for us, and that's what we want to do. As we've been journeying through the Gospel of Luke, we've seen Jesus confront us time and time again with his vision of salvation and deliverance and the kingdom of God, his vision of the good life, and then how are we going to steward that and respond to that? So we're going to jump into Luke chapter 12. You can start turning in your Bibles or your phones or whatever it is you use. The words will be up here on the screen. But he's going to invite us to think about what God might have for us in 2018. He's going to invite us to think about what is he actually called us to. And he's going to ultimately invite us to consider our posture towards those things. He's going to invite us to consider, are we dressed and ready for service? Or have we fallen asleep? It's ultimately questions about, are we stewarding our lives? Are we stewarding our callings and our assignments from him? Or have we lost sight of his priorities and we've just ended up drifting, or we've ended up apathetic, or we've ended up pleasing ourselves? And it's a wonderful, challenging opportunity to set our priorities for the new year ahead and plan to invest in our relationship with him and the things he's asked us to do, the things he's given us responsibility for in this world. And the basic question to help us in the new year that Jesus is going to ask us is, are we ready? Are we ready? Are we watching for him? Are we even watching for his return? Are we watching for what the Lord is doing in 2018 with you, your family, your church family, in your workplace, everywhere? So it's an opportunity, even though maybe we're not ready to crawl out from underneath the duvet yet and face 2018, it's a great opportunity to let the words of Jesus impact us, refresh us, renew us, reshape us, and reshape our priorities, and give us renewed vision as we seek to live in his presence and in his kingdom. So let's jump right in. He begins with, what is your posture? And right away, it's intense. He just starts off. He just says, be dressed ready for service. And keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from wedding banquets, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. He's talking to his disciples, but in front of the crowd. So it's kind of like a double whammy. The disciples are getting it, but then the crowds are getting it as well. He says, be dressed, be ready for service, and keep your lamps burning. The first part, you could also translate the first bit, gird your loins. Why is that important? Well, in the ancient Near East, in Jesus' time, they would wear long garments that if you wanted to move fast or fight in a battle or be ready, you'd tie them up somehow and you'd be able to move and your legs wouldn't be caught up and stuff like that. So they would say, gird your loins, right? It's an old-fashioned way of saying that, be ready for anything. And in the tense of the verbs, as you translate that, it's be constantly ready. It's not like do it once and then, you know, you're off the hook and get back under the duvet. It's be constantly ready, okay? And the phrase he uses, gird your loins, you're uncomfortable with it, I can tell. But it's actually the same phrasing and language from Exodus chapter 12, verse 11. When God spoke to Moses and Aaron about the first Passover. And they remember from Sunday school, like bake the unleavened bread and eat it standing up with your loins girded. Be ready to go. And it's the exact same phrase. Why am I harping on this? Why is this important? Well, it's important because they would have instantly recognized the phrase. And the meaning packed into those words is God's about to do something. Get ready to respond to the deliverance of God. And when Moses and Aaron, it was right before he led the nation of Israel out of slavery at the first Passover. Be ready, be in constant readiness. Watch for God to do something. Watch for his deliverance. You are going to need to respond to this. Get ready to go. What you have prayed for as a nation is about to happen. And Jesus uses the same words. Be constantly ready for God to move. In these days, he's delivering the people. The cries of the nation are about to be answered in him as he journeys towards the cross. God is still moving in salvation and deliverance, is what he's saying. And be ready. You're going to need to move fast, is what he's saying. And in Luke, we've just seen Jesus welcoming all who want him and his kingdom. And he comes as a servant, he comes in humility and even obscurity, and only those with eyes to see respond. And as he confronts sin and systemic evil with his gracious and beautiful kingdom, rule, and reign, many reject him. And we've seen that as we've journeyed through Luke's gospel so far. But Luke also shows us Jesus giving hints and clues that even though he's headed towards a cross, dying so we might live, he'll be raised. And he'll be glorified and will return, not in obscurity as a humble servant, but in glory at the head of the angels as king and judge of the living and the dead. And we as his people long for that day. And we live between the ages, this age and the age to come, is how Jesus would have put it. Trusting in his presence with us by the Holy Spirit, busy living out his mission, participating in his kingdom rule and expansion, living out his renewal of the world and its ways, inviting others into his kingdom life, but also suffering with him and longing for the full consummation of his kingdom, which will have no end. And at that time, all wrongs will be made right, all tears will be wiped away, and we shall taste and see the goodness of the Lord fully, without shame or barrier or end. And that's what we're to be ready for. We're to be ready for Jesus to move now. We're also to be ready for Jesus to come and bring all of that in consummation. And that's what he's saying to his disciples. Be ready now, but be constantly ready. Be ready for my return. He's preparing them and he's preparing us for what it will be like, how we are to live as disciples, how he is empowering and blessing and dwelling with us now, and how he intends to bring all of history to consummation and fulfillment. So we're to be ready for action and prepared for that day. He may come at any time. He may do something at any time. So keep your lamps burning. Be ready to move, even in darkness. It's like servants waiting for a master who's out at a wedding banquet. In Jesus' day, weddings could last for days or even up to a week. So the servants wouldn't know when to expect their master when he's coming home from the big party. He may come at any time. They just had to be ready. They're watching and they're waiting his return so that the house and the food, that anything that would need to be ready is ready to receive him, even in the late watches of the night. They need to be ready. And again, as we start 2018, are we dressed and ready? What is our posture? Are we ready for him and his involvement in our world? Are we expecting any of that at all? Are we ready for him breaking in, the dynamic action of the kingdom coming and imminently changing things? Are we taking him seriously? Are we ready for service, mindful of his priorities and ready for the tasks and callings that he's given us? Are we ready for 2018? Are we ready for Jesus in 2018, focused and aware of his priorities? Or are we focused on our own priorities and feel and expect that he should be helping us fulfill our priorities instead of the other way around? Do we feel like he should be working for us in 2018? What if we framed the year ahead in terms of getting into a ready posture for anything and everything that Jesus has for us? And then something unexpected happens, unexpected blessing. In verse 37, Jesus tells us, that was supposed to be funny. Don't laugh yet. Jesus tells us that it would be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. And that makes sense, right? Of course, that it, you know, like, be ready or else he'll be mad, right? And then, if you remember the irreverent t-shirt that was going, doing the rounds, Jesus is coming, look busy. I've seen some of you wear them. You know, you're acting like you've never seen this before. It's like that time when I said, has anyone ever watched Sex and the City? And you're all like, no, never. I asked that at a baptism and people are like, oh, no. Yeah. Anyway. Jesus is coming back. Look busy. Is that what this whole deal is all about? And I would expect, if I was a servant watching for the master to return, he wants me to do that so that I can serve him and make sure he's received into his own home and he's given whatever he requires. You know, that's my job, right? But listen to what happens. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself. He's talking about the master here. He will dress himself to serve and will have them, who are the servants, recline at the table, and he will come and wait on them. He tells his followers, and he tells us, that he will serve them. The roles will be reversed. He will serve those who have watched and waited and are faithful. It's a promise of the end of all things when Jesus returns in glory and judgment. Those who are faithful will be served, will be with him, as a host serves his friends, not as a master demands that his servant meet his every need. Are you prepared for and investing in the blessings of his presence now and later? And what if part of what he wants in 2018 for you is to honor your faithfulness and your waiting and your watching, and he wants to sit and eat with you and to serve you? And of course, it's a picture of the end of all things and the marriage supper of the Lamb. But it's also a picture of the kingdom life now, that we know and build friendship with Jesus by following him faithfully and following him well. It's a picture of blessing now and blessing beyond blessing at the end of all things. But it's a posture that's cultivated. Are we learning to trust and love and to know and serve him and wait upon him in 2018? And is there anything in our plans and intentions in those departments? Like what would it look like if we intended to do that? You know, we talk a lot about formation and community and impact. Those are the three things we do here at the Vineyard: spiritual formation, radical community, and city and global impact. And that's why we go for spiritual formation, where we learn to steward the life and responsibilities he's given us in deep friendship with him, where his life is formed and shaped in us and then begins to overflow and influence the world around us. And that's the picture here. He wants to presence himself with you and serve you as you wait upon him faithfully. And one day when he returns, there will be even greater blessing. Passage goes on to say that the hour is unknown. If you knew when the thief was coming, you would prepare for it, but you don't. So be constantly living a life that invests in Jesus and his presence now, so you will be ready. Who are you talking to? Peter. We can always trust Peter to just interrupt and say, Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? He wants to know, are you talking to us as leaders, your closest followers, or are you talking to everyone here? Is this a thing that only the important people, the leadery people have to think about and everybody else gets to do what they want? Or what happens here? What's going on? Can most people ignore this, or is this aimed at everyone who's following Jesus? Well, Jesus doesn't answer him directly. He asks him a rhetorical question right back. He just keeps going, which we'll get to in a second. And that's the answer to the question. It's yes to both. Yes, I'm talking to leaders, and yes, I'm talking to everyone. Certainly to leaders, certainly, but also to every person who calls themselves his follower. And if you're like, well, look, I don't really feel like I'm a leader. I'm not sure how this applies to me. I would just say to you that we all are stewarding something. We all have a purpose. We all have a calling. We all have an assignment. We all have a mission. And for us at the Vineyard, here's how I'd love to understand this. I would just say that leadership and influence isn't just for church. It's for everywhere and every disciple. We're all stewarding many things. We're all interacting with the world. We all have dominion over something. Even if right now it's just our life and its purpose and that's it. We have been commissioned by God, made in his image, given assignment, and we all need to hear the words of Jesus. The actual leadership roster of the church includes disciples ministering in every arena of life, in business, law, medicine, education, the arts, sciences, government, and religion. The objective of Jesus' church growth strategy was not to build a single behemoth social institution with a limited set of ordained authorities. Instead, his spirit was to be poured out on all flesh to effect a widening and deepening base of influence within every nation, worldview, and social institution. It's pretty good, isn't it? And that's how I would think about Christian leadership. Jesus isn't just trying us to get us to be good with these words. You know, be good and wait till I get back kind of thing. He's inviting us to lead and influence wherever he's placed us. So every part of our city is touched and influenced by his goodness and his gracious kingdom. And what if we dreamed about that in 2018? You know, instead of debating, is leadership for me or not? I don't know if I have time or I don't have gifting or something like that. What if we ran towards influencing everywhere we go in the power of the Spirit with the goodness of the kingdom of God? And we take responsibility for our own life with Jesus and what he has assigned us and where he has assigned us to be. That would make 2018 already a bit more interesting than it is. Faithful servants. He answers Peter by giving him a yes to both, and he returns this theme of the servant for whom it will go well. The Lord answered, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. Truly, I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possession. So this time, he changes the story a little bit. The servant has been elevated to a steward, and he's responsible for the other servants while the master is away. And when the master comes back, he's found by the master doing what he or she was charged to do. They were found doing their job, faithful when no one was watching. In the first parable, it was about posture. You know, the faithful servant is supposed to be ready for the return of the master. Jesus now expands it to, yes, be ready, but also it's about action. Actually doing what the master would do, actually doing what the master has told you to do. So this servant is serving the other servants of the household, and Jesus is saying, don't just be ready for my return, serve in the assignment I've given you. Serve people in my name. It will go well, Jesus says. They will be blessed. It's actually the same word from the Sermon on the Plain, Luke chapter 6. Or the Sermon on the Mount, you know, the Beatitudes where blessed are, so it's blessed are the peacemakers and all that stuff. It's the same word. It's a beatitude to the faithful servant. And it Blessed doesn't mean it's just good. It means like it's the good and wise life. Extremely happy in God is the servant who the master finds waiting for him and fulfilling the assignment given. The blessed life is the life where we recognize that we're stewards, stewarding the master's resources and priorities, preparing and intending to do that, and then receiving more. See, the reward is more. The master rewards faithfulness with way more authority, favor, access, blessing, and fruitfulness. Not just a job to do, but a share in the master's power, authority, and wealth. That's what's promised to the faithful servant. And my sense as I was preparing this is that many of us feel like somehow we're losing or we belong in the unfaithful category, because we're going to get to the unfaithful servant in just a second, and it's really bad. And we just somehow feel like we've always, like, if Jesus came back tomorrow, that's where he put us, right? We just somehow, I don't know, we're just not cutting it or making it. And maybe that's as a parent, or maybe in your workplace, or maybe as you've done all you can to follow Jesus, you still somehow feel like you're losing, or it's not enough, or, you know, you've tried to follow Jesus and it just hasn't happened, or you name it, you just feel like, that's not for me. We expect that we wouldn't be blessed, and that we're somehow a disappointment. But I felt like actually what we were to talk about this morning is, in reality, you've been faithful. And don't give up before it's over. We're playing the long game here. And in the short time, as you look, you're just like, I don't know, I feel like I'm losing today. Well, maybe not. It's not about today. It's about the long game. And 2018 is a year where you need to lift your head and plan for something different. And instead of planning for rejection, you need to step into favor. The master wants to give you more, and you need to get ready for that. And what if the only person who thinks that you're failing is you? Faithfulness is a posture. It isn't perfection. And many of us feel like we haven't been perfect, so we've somehow lost. When Jesus isn't looking for perfection, he's looking for faithfulness. He's the one that supplied the perfection. And it's paid for us at the cross. See, he doesn't just want you to live with less. He wants and intends to give you more. And it's probably not a Ferrari, like the prosperity guys say, like, oh, if you give more or whatever, he's going to give you like wealth and riches. Now, maybe he will, but I just don't see that. But he will give you more to steward. But part of receiving more is actually recognizing that and receiving it and then doing it. You know, the servant has to step in and receive it and walk in it. And that's really challenging. You have to embrace it even as you're promoted or elevated by the master, whether that's in church or family or in work or in the city or wherever it happens to be. Embrace promotion from God. It's the reward of faithfulness. But it can't be half-hearted. It needs to be humble, but it needs to be a full-throated yes. I will do this. It's the continuation of being faithful. Faithfulness got you here. So don't stop now. It's a new level of faithful. And I think 2018 for many of you is about saying yes to the more that God wants to give you. Because you've been faithful, he's trying to give you more. So don't give it back. Plan for it. Watch for it. What have you said no to because you think you can't do it? Stuff has come your way. Leadership or opportunities have come your way, but you don't think you're good enough or can't do it, and you've said no. What if you've said no to the master who's trying to give you something because you've been faithful? Now, there's wisdom that needs to be applied and boundaries, and we talk about that all the time, and that's really great, and that's really healthy, but sometimes we're trying to give away something that the Lord is giving to us because we've done well and been faithful. What have you said no to because you're too busy with other things? You know, good things, but not right things. What if in 2018 we did the usual, you know, I'm going to rearrange my schedule stuff, I'm going to lose weight stuff, and all that stuff that we do. But what if we also approach the year with this in mind, to do what God has placed in my heart to do? and not be distracted, and to say some no's to even good things so I can say yes to the right things in this season that he's asking me to do. So I let the cat out of the bag that, yeah, the unfaithful servants get a mention as well, and he contrasts the blessed servant with the one who ignores the assignment and completely pleases himself or herself while abusing others under their power and their care. And it's total knowledge of what the master wants and expects, even knowing that he'll come back and check, yet still using position not to serve, but to exploit. But suppose the servant says to himself, my master is taking a long time in coming, and he then begins to beat the other servants, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. The servant who knows the master's will and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows. So, needless to say, that servant is dealt with harshly. It's hard to imagine Jesus meek and mild saying this, right? He's saying it. But it's a total betrayal. The unfaithful servant is totally betraying the master and betraying the assignment. It says he'll be cut in two and be totally rejected by the master. Jesus is returning with authority and judgment, and he's expecting faithfulness. And that went for the disciples, and that goes for us. And it might feel like over the top, Jesus is getting really intense, cut them in two, like what are you talking about? But just remember, in the original context, he's talking to the disciples, and Judas is there. And Judas was cut in two and completely cut off because of betrayal. The disciple that knew exactly who he was dealing with and exactly who he was betraying. And it goes on to say, if we do not do his will out of ignorance, it seems the punishment is less. If we do not do his will yet know him and know that we should do his will, the punishment is worse. And I would just summarize this whole thing by saying our actions and our attitudes and the stewardship of our lives and hearts and callings and assignments matter immensely now and forever. And the master invites us in 2018 to consider that and to consider his return with authority and to walk the paths of blessing with joy, but also seriously. Moving into 2018, let's end with this. You know, the passage ends with Jesus saying to us and the disciples, you know, and by the way, whether we like it or not, this is what he says to us. And I just kind of get the sense that, you know, leaning into 2018, it doesn't feel like many of us are ready to just take it by the horns here, okay? So, but whether we like it or not, here's what Jesus says to us. From everyone who's been given much, much will be demanded, and from the one who's been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. We've all been given much and entrusted with much. And what if we evaluated our priorities in 2018? In light of this passage and our readiness for what God might want to do and our stewardship of all he has given us, you might begin by asking, what have I been entrusted with personally? And what am I doing about that? What is my assignment to steward from Jesus in 2018? Do you know what that is? And if you don't know what that is, I'm not going to make you feel bad, but I just think 2018 is really about figuring that out with him and in loving, faithful community devoted to him. And many of us do know it, but we're just not ready to give a wholehearted yes. And maybe that's because we're tired, maybe that's because we're afraid, maybe that's because we've been battered and bruised in some other contexts, and we're carrying that baggage in both hands here into 2018. Are you ignoring something that you know Jesus has asked of you to do? And maybe that's serve in a certain place or a certain role here. Maybe that's something in your family that you're just abdicating, on that. Maybe it's something to do with work, and maybe you're not even the boss. You're just part of the team and part of the culture, but he's asking you to be and to bring something into that context. Maybe it's something in our city. He's actually breathing on you to lead and pioneer. What is he asking of you? If you notice in this passage, Jesus just puts a lot of responsibility onto the disciples and all of his followers, basically saying, this is your responsibility. I will be with you to the ends of the age. I will empower you. I will forgive you. I will save you. But you have some responsibility here as well. And he places a responsibility on them for their own posture in regards to him and their own posture in regards to the assignments they've been given. And he just says, this is your responsibility. You have to take responsibility. I'm not going to come in and just magic everything all away. You need to take responsibility as my follower. And I've just been reflecting over the Christmas break on our city. I've been driving around our city a good bit. And for some reason, just the many, 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 many church buildings in our city have just been kind of jumping out to me, probably because we're looking for one. But anyway, I've just been reflecting on that and praying on it. And how do I say this kindly? Lots has happened over the years in this city, and at times we may look at the church, all these church buildings, and may be critical about what has gone before us. And you know, we're super cool, we're the Vineyard, meeting Jim in the blue floor and all that stuff, and we've got electric guitars and they don't, or whatever. And we get a little superior and high and mighty and stuff like that. But I really felt a check as I looked at these buildings, and I just, you know, from all parts of our city, right? So I was in the west of our city, I was in the north of our city, I was all over our city. And I just felt the sense from the Lord that there has been a legacy built here. And it is overwhelmingly positive. And we live in a day where many are choosing to leave faith or not even considering faith, and culture is really changing rapidly. And I'm thinking and praying about what does it look like to steward faith and faithfulness in this city for Jesus' sake. And as I looked at those buildings, I just thought, we can criticize what's gone before us in terms of faith and church, but the truth is, there's a beautiful legacy of faith and hope in our city left to us by those who have gone before and have stewarded it over the years. And we can be critical or we can celebrate, but the truth is, now it's our turn. And for many of us, it's just time to adult in faith and life with Jesus and take responsibility for our own spiritual lives and our own callings and our own assignments and how those weave together a beautiful fabric of the body of Christ in a city and impact an entire city. And it's time to adult. And maybe you feel like me, like at times, you know, you feel like the great prophet David Byrne. And you wake up and you were like, you wake up with a spouse and some kids and a real job, and you're just like, how did I get here? How did this happen? I used to be in the youth group and I had some leaders and they knew all the answers. And we had pastors and we knew all the answers, right? And now I'm like an adult and I still feel like I'm 18. And I don't feel like I know how to lead. I just think it's our turn. And we're just being asked the question at the opening of 2018 by Jesus through his word to us. Are we prepared to carry and steward a legacy of faith and goodness and righteousness? Because we are going to have to give an account. And we can be critical of the traditions that maybe we grew up in or that we were rivals of in the tradition that we grew up in, or the you know, the people that have gone before us, and we can do that, but we're going to have to give an account. And what kind of a legacy do we want to leave? And what are we willing to do? What do we know we should do, but are afraid or apathetic or whatever? So I think that's for us in 2018. I think it's for us to adult. And do we need to love and serve one another and care for one another? Of course we do. Do we need to visit each other in the hospital? Well, I hope we don't have to, but of course we do. Do we need to help and carry one another at times? Of course we do. I'm not just saying like you just got drafted into the army and it's just every man for himself and we're going to take that hill and not worry about the limbs that get blown. I'm not saying that, but I am saying it's our time. And I don't mean that as the vineyard is the salvation of the city. I just mean it's us as part of the wider body of Christ in this city to take responsibility for what Jesus has asked of us and our lives with him. And we need to lean into hope and faith that it's part of a greater tapestry of the body of Christ in this city, working together to see more of his gracious kingdom come. And to be faithful in stewarding a legacy until he returns. So I just think in 2018, let's all lose some weight and get smarter and have a better schedule and go to the gym and enjoy our lives and enjoy each other. Like, let's do all those things that we say we're gonna do in the new year, right? And there's nothing wrong with them. They're really good, and I hope I get to do some of those things. But let's also ask some deep and powerful and life-changing questions about the legacy of the kingdom that we've been entrusted with in Belfast in the year 2018. And let's not fail to be ready and waiting with our lamps burning. And if we're just not ready and waiting with our lamps burning, I'm not going to have a go at you. I'm just going to invite you to have a different vision for your life and to do what it would take to get there. And let's rearrange some priorities. Let's reach for more. Let's become wise and faithful stewards of all that God has invited us into as part of his gracious kingdom rule and reign that is speeding towards the consummation of his coming kingdom. Why don't you stand? I just had specifically some things that we're to pray for. There are some other responses that you might, I had a quote, but you're just going to have to maybe get it some other time. There's some things that are on your card there. You can make a response. There's a basket at the back as you leave that you can post your cards in there, or you can give it to the welcome desk, or you could give them to me. So those are some responses you might want to make. I just feel like there's some things that we really should pray into. So there'll be a prayer ministry team up here. One is you just know in your heart that and look, we've all been here, so it's not like judgment time and you're going to be singled out as the worst in the world. We've all been here, but you just know right now, looking into 2018, you are riding on someone else's momentum and you don't have any for yourself. And we just would love to pray for you that in 2018, it's a year where you begin to have your own momentum in your life with Jesus and the assignments he's given you. Others of you, I just felt really strongly that there's something in BCV. And of course, we talk about leadership, Christian leadership being for the city, not just for the church, right? But there's just something in BCV. You know you're to bear weight. You know you're to serve. You know you're to lead. And you've been avoiding it because it's going to be hard. And today's your day to pick it up. It's just your day to pick it up. And it's one of those things where I know I've been asked, I know I've been given this assignment, and it's just time to go. It's just time to go. Others of us, we are being asked, and we know we've been asked, some of us from a young age, we know we've been asked to pioneer something, to gather people, to plant a church, to bring people into relationship with Jesus. And you know it's big, and you have just been running a mile and doing anything you can possibly do. Well, I just think 2018 is the dawning of when that stuff begins to come to fruition. And you're to pioneer something in our city, you're to pioneer something in another city, and your first step in 2018 is just to begin to gather people around Jesus, your friends and your neighbors, and it's time to do what's been placed in your heart by God to do. And it's got a specific thing to do with pioneering. And then lastly, maybe you're here and you don't know Jesus, or you're far from Jesus, or you don't even care about Jesus or whatever, but something caught in your heart when we said Jesus is returning with authority. And it's not a fear-based thing, but you know that it won't go well for you. We believe that everyone spends their eternity somewhere. And we just want to invite you really clearly and graciously into the kingdom of God. And we want to invite you to become the good and faithful servant who waits upon and loves Jesus and knows him and then is served by Jesus. So if you've never given your life to Jesus, if you've never become his follower, if you've never confessed your sin to him and said, Jesus, save me and love me and lead me, then we want to give you that opportunity this morning. So there'll be a team of people up here. We want to pray for you. And if that's you, we want to invite you into the kingdom. We want to invite you into his gracious presence this morning. So all that's a lot there. And I've said a lot about our city, and I've said a lot about adulting. And maybe if you just need some prayer to adult, we all need that. We all need it. And maybe whatever you need, we want to pray for you, any need you have. So I'm going to pray just kind of to close us. You can get your children, but there will be a team up here. I promised. I've been prompting them like 3 times, praying that they'll appear. That was the hint. Anyway, Father, thank you so much for your goodness to us. And where we feel like we're ready for 2018 and we're excited, we just say thank you. But where most of us are feeling like, am I going to survive 2018? We pray for your power upon us now. And we pray that this year, for us as a community, that we would step into the lives you have for us. We celebrate your goodness, we celebrate your love, and we celebrate your mission. And we say, Master, it is a privilege to serve you. Forgive us where we haven't. Forgive us where we haven't been ready. Forgive us where we've ran. Forgive us where we've celebrated that you've been away at a banquet so that we could just pursue our own ends. Make us and shape us into a people who live in fidelity and faithfulness, who always hold your presence as our greatest reward, who know your presence and anticipate your greater presence at the coming of the end of the age. We just look out at our city and we look out at our world and we say, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Would you find us faithful? Would you find us fulfilling our assignment? So we say, Holy Spirit, reveal assignments. Empower us to do them and to love the Lord Jesus with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Holy Spirit, we invite you to heal the sick, to comfort the grieving, to be with those who are lonely, sad, and discouraged. Empower us to be a community. Call those this morning who need to meet Jesus into his kingdom. And then fill us up to be your church. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.